Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text this morning is the text from the Holy Gospel, as you have heard read. And our theme this morning, planting the Word of God. Please be seated. My dearest brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, planting, something that most of you know something about. And you go out and you plant, which has just happened over the last several months. And the farmer faithfully then waits. The farmer puts the seed in the ground, and then the farmer faithfully waits. But what about the farmer who plants, and as you've heard with the children, is out here walking in his field every morning and every noon and every evening, fretting and worrying about whether the seed's going to grow? You know, all the fretting and all the worrying is absolutely useless. The fretting and the worrying will not make the seed grow whatsoever. It won't make the seed germinate. Fretting and growing will not, and worrying will not make it grow. Fretting and worrying will not produce a harvest. No, the faithful farmer plants. Then he continues with his other important work on the farm. I know I was raised on a farm, and there's always something to do. If it's not tending livestock, there's fences to fix. There's equipment to work on. There's many, many other things to do. But if the unfaithful farmer is always in the field fretting and worrying about the seed, then when winter comes, what happens to his livestock? No hay, no feed. What about his equipment? There's been no maintenance. What about all the other chores? Everything else begins to fall apart. And ultimately, the farmer begins to realize, I can't be in the field morning, noon, and night fretting and worrying about the planted seed. No, it's the faithful farmer, as your children just told you. It's the faithful farmer who knows that it is God who creates, who actually creates the seed. And then when the seed is planted, it is God who waters, and it is God who grows, and it is God who produces, and it is God who blesses. Yes, the faithful farmer certainly plants, just as the faithful Christian. The faithful Christian is also to be planting. But we plant the seed of God, or the Word of God. That's what we're called to do, dear ones. You see it there as you look at your bulletin insert. And there on the back of the readings, verses 26 to 29, this is what Jesus is talking about when he talks about the planted seed. The Christian is called to plant the seed. You and I, the Christian, we're called to proclaim the Word. We are to plant the Word of God. And the Word of God that we are to plant is both law and gospel. We are to speak the truth in love. We are to tell people that you cannot be living in a state of sin and expect God to be happy with you. No, you must always proclaim to them, repent. Repent of your sin. And Jesus, who is faithful and just, will forgive you of your sin. That's why he took your sin upon himself and then nailed them to a cross. That's the gospel message. For the law and the gospel must always complement each other. You see, once that seed is planted, we are no longer to fret and worry about it. You aren't able to cause conviction in the human heart. I cannot cause this, neither can you cause it. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. You aren't able to cause someone to repent of their sins. You aren't able to make the human heart bow before a holy and just God. I can't do that. You can't do it. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. You aren't able to sanctify. You aren't able by your own means, able to renew the human heart. I can't do it. You can't do it. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. The growth of the gospel which is planted in the human heart is completely, completely in the hands of God. Not your hands, not my hands. So we must stop fretting and worrying. Just speak the truth in love. Just speak the law at the proper time. And then proclaim the holy gospel of what Jesus has done. What Jesus has done for them, what he has done for you, and what he continues to do for you. Plant the seed. Plant that precious seed of God's word. Then God will do the rest. It is God who blesses his holy word. Remember his promise. He tells us that his word will not return to him void. It's right there in Isaiah chapter 55. His word will not return to him void. When his word goes forth, as you heard in the Old Testament lesson this morning, he will do it. Yet sadly, many Christians want to do God's work. They want to do the growth. They want to be responsible for the reaping. Too many do this, dear ones, in vainglory. Remember, it is only God who convicts the human heart. It is only God who creates repentance. And it is only God who forgives us of our sins and cleanses us from all unrighteousness. God is the Lord of the harvest, not you, and certainly not me. Then Jesus tells another parable. Jesus tells a parable, and these parables are important, for his parables are stories that always have a spiritual truth attached to them. They are parables because they use real life circumstances, like we're talking about today, the farmer. The Jews understood farming. And you here in Chum, or in Adams County, or in Mercer County, you understand farming. So Jesus speaks of a seed. But he speaks of a seed that is so tiny that you wouldn't even consider it. So tiny that it's smaller than the head of this pencil. The tip of this pencil is larger than a mustard seed. And this parable certainly applies to you and to me, for we are his church, we are his heavenly bride. The tiniest of seeds is the mustard seed, yet it grows once it is planted in good soil. It grows to be the largest plant in the whole garden. It's nearly tree-like. Its boughs extend out over the garden, and they become large enough that the birds find shade, and they can even roost there on those branches. It's a place where the birds find rest. You see the analogy of the church? It seems like the gospel message seems so small to many people. It certainly seems so small to the world. To many out there, the gospel means nothing to them. It's tiny and it's useless and it's worthless. The gospel is despised, dear ones. As a matter of fact, the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is actually hated by the world. It so often is watered down. It's even changed for evil purposes. It's often added to or it's detracted from. And sadly, even within the church, the gospel of Jesus Christ is turned into law. And we know what the law does to us. The law tells us that we are sinners. The law shows us that we are sinners. The law proclaims to us that we cannot save ourselves. The law condemns. So why in the world, across many churches today, people are hearing all law, 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 and you wonder why they leave church and they're so depressed? That's why. They're depressed because the law is depressing. It's condemning. The gospel is not the law. The law is the law, and the gospel is the gospel. Many proclaim a gospel that says what God said. Many proclaim a gospel that God didn't say. Many say that God privately comes to me and he gives me a download. And in this download, I now have a new gospel to proclaim to you, my dear ones. The gospel that they proclaim, if it's not written in here, it's not God's gospel. If it's not written in here, it's man's gospel, and man's gospel is law. What does law do to us? Since the gospel, their gospel, doesn't agree with what's written in this book, then it must be rejected. Because if it doesn't agree with God's word, then it's not the gospel. It's the height of arrogance. It is the height of arrogance for a man or woman to stand before a Christian congregation and say to them that I privately have a connection to God and only He is talking to me. I am special and I know better than you. Therefore, don't worry about what's written in here. Just listen to me. You should turn around and flee from them, because what you're going to hear is the law. And what you're going to hear from them is total law, an evil law, an unsubstantiated law, not according to God's word, a law that is void and useless. It is not the true gospel. It is worthless. It is as chaff that is thrown into the wind and is blown away. Only the true gospel of Jesus Christ, only the true gospel renews the human heart. Only the true gospel of Jesus Christ changes lives. Only the true gospel of Jesus Christ changes our thinking. Most of you know I spent a lot of time in the military. And you can imagine some of the people that I had contact with. I wouldn't even want to begin describing them to you. But you probably know some people like this. You may think that this Bible, that this word is useless and that it is worthless. But when you challenge someone who is an avowed heretic, an avowed atheist, an avowed blasphemer, when you finally convince them, just open it and read it. Just read the book of Philippians. You see a great transformation happen. It wasn't me. It was the gospel. It was the Holy Spirit. Only the Spirit changes the human heart. Only the Spirit convicts of sin and righteousness. Only the Spirit does this. And we rejoice because He does this great work. The smallest seed, the small seed of the gospel, so hated by the world, it must be planted. And you are the faithful farmer. You are the faithful Christian who plants this tiny gospel seed. Then God does the work. He creates the growth. And there will result a great harvest. Dear ones, God, the Holy Spirit, has brought you here this morning. Oh, you thought you were coming just to see your grandchildren or your niece or your child sing. Oh, no, God has a different purpose and a different plan. He has a different purpose and a different plan for your life. Today, He wanted you to hear the gospel. He also wanted you to hear the law. You've been convicted, I pray. And when you go home this afternoon, sit in your comfort, in your comfortable air conditioning, in your chair. Rejoice that He has given you this blessing. And then consider. Consider what Jesus has done for you. Too often we Christians want to gloss it over. We forget what Jesus has done. We forget what Jesus has endured for us. We like to think that Jesus is, oh, He's up there in heaven. And it's no longer necessary to talk about what He did here while He was on earth, what He did in the manger, what He did in the Jordan River. What He did is He called fishermen to proclaim that small gospel seed. What He did when He fed 5,000, what He did here upon the cross. And dear ones, His tomb. Oh, His tomb. It is still empty. It will always be empty. For He is risen. And He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. I know it's not Easter, but I just completed it for you. That's the message that your children heard this past week. Yes, the tiny mustard seed was planted in the heart of your children. God will make it grow. Don't hinder them, parents. When they ask you, Mom, Dad, I want to go to Sunday school, bring them. When your children say to you, Mom, Dad, I want to come to church, bring them. And when you bring them, you will also hear the truth of God's word, that it is Jesus who has come. It is Jesus who has planted the seed in your heart. And it is Jesus who waters, and it grows, and it flourishes. The Lord has spoken. The Lord has spoken indeed, and He will do it. Plant the word, dear one. Plant the word of God, and you will be blessed. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, now and forever. Amen.